I thank Brother Rick for those kind words of introduction, and I want you to know I'm very happy to have the privilege of being back at Southwest again and to have a part with this good lectureship. You're one of the finest congregations that I know anywhere in the world, and your lectureship is always well attended, and you as members of the church are very kind to those who come and have a part in the program. I'm so thankful for Brother Rick and for his good work and for the elders of this congregation and for those who make tapes and make those possible throughout the world. So your influence is good, and the training of fine young men to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know of several who have done an excellent job in various ways. So thank you again, and I appreciate your kindness very, very much. I'm again being taken care of by the Altizers, and I've been in their home for several years now, back and forth. Well, the subject this morning has to do with holiness in regard to worship and service to the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter said, Christ has left us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. And then in chapter 1, verse 15, be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or your manner of life, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Holiness and worship to the Lord is the theme of my talk at this time. Certainly, we need to recognize the teaching of the Bible along that line. And we're imitating Christ when we do that. We are to serve the Lord, as the psalmist said, in the beauty of holiness. And holiness is spoken of in regard to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is the object of our worship. We are to be sincere and from the heart in our worship, but we also to worship according to the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ as revealed in the Word of God. And so these three things must be kept in mind. We read in Acts 2 that after those were baptized on the day of Pentecost, that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and in prayers. We read also in Acts 20 of the church at Troas coming together on the first day of the week to worship. And Paul was present, and he preached to those people, intending to go on over to Jerusalem, and he had in mind finally to Rome. But anyway, he continued his speech until midnight, and there were those that heard Paul in his preaching on that day. The Lord's Day is spoken of in Revelation 1 and verse 10, as John was banished to the Isle of Patmos, and he said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. He was not privileged to meet and worship with Christians on that day at Ephesus, but he had been banished to that little island as punishment. But he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Many people, I'm sure, in this audience this morning can look back and say, Sunday after Sunday, I have been privileged to meet and to worship the Lord. And I can say that. In the years of my preaching and growing up also, my parents were members of the church, and I went to services, of course, and then was baptized and began preaching. Very few Sundays have I been ill, unable to worship on that day. And I'm grateful for that. We look forward to the Lord's Day and to coming together to worship the Lord on that day. As we read our New Testament, we know that there is the preaching of the Word or the reading of the Word of the Lord when brethren come together. The Apostle Paul mentioned about exchanging the letters from one congregation to another. Back in that day, they did not have what we would call the Bible printed with all of the books or the letters, and so they exchanged those, and there were those who read them, and they listened to them. But today, we have our Bible, but we are to preach the Word. We are to teach the Word of the Lord, and that is a part of our assembly together upon the first day of the week. But also, we read from 1 Corinthians 16 that Paul gave orders to lay by in store or give. If we talk of it as our contribution on the first day of the week. And we are to give liberally. And God loves us as a liberal giver in the service of the Lord. Well then, too, we know that prayers are to be offered, that men are to lead the prayers in public services, and we are to pray. Then, too, there is the singing of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to the Lord, as we read in Ephesians 5, verse 19, and Colossians 3, and verse 16. So it is that we worship the Lord, as the Bible teaches. Now then, as the church continued to live and to grow, there were dangers of departing from the faith. And this was predicted. And the Apostle Paul warned the elders of the church at Ephesus that men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. And they were told to watch in all things. As we go back and read history, we know that gradually departures came. Until finally, there was one who was spoken of as the head of the church, following the example of the Apostle Peter, so they said. And then changes were made. And finally, mechanical instruments of music were being introduced into the so-called worship of the church back then. That doesn't mean that there were not faithful, loyal congregations during that time. But we go on down and we speak of it as the Dark Ages. But finally, there were those who wanted to make some reforms and changes as spoken of in the Bible. And so we think about John Wesley and Adam Clark's commentary on Amos 6, in which he quotes from John Wesley, who said, "I have no objection to the organ being in our assemblies, provided they're neither seen nor heard." Well, that's one way of saying he didn't approve of it. And Wesley, not only, but Luther and Spurgeon and others were opposed to mechanical instruments of music in the worship. Then as we come on down, we think about individuals wanting to restore the New Testament church in its worship and work. And we had the privilege of growing up when people began to make a plea back to the Bible and back to the Word of God, and let's follow the teaching of the Bible. Now, I grew up in that kind of an environment and teaching. The congregation where my parents attended never did use the mechanical instruments of music in the worship at all. Now, there were those round about that did, but I'm just saying that congregation never did and does not to this very day, and it still exists as an old congregation. So we think about the age of the departure and the Dark Ages and the Reformation movement, and then the restoration of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the NIV translation has the word music in Ephesians 5:19. We don't especially appreciate that, but anyway, that's the way it is. Then too, I can remember when public discussions were held, debates were held concerning being wrong to use mechanical instruments of music in the worship. I entered Fried Hardeman in the fall of 29. Just some time before that, Brother Hardeman had engaged in a debate with Mr. Boswell concerning instruments of music in the worship. This was held in Nashville, and the book is still in print for those of you who would like to get it and to read it. Well, anyway, that's what we are being faced with today, I think. The idea of some wanting to bring in mechanical instruments of music in the worship. And so we are to live right, do right, and worship as the Bible teaches from the Word of God. Several years ago, in my preaching in India, I was invited to come to a denominational church and to speak if I could arrange it. Well, I was staying with one of the preachers, and I said, well, we'll go Sunday afternoon. So we set the time, and we went to the place, and they rang the bell, and people began to come in and put down their carpets and all, and I began to speak. But someone came in, and he had a little instrument. He wanted to play it. We said, no, we don't want that. We just sing, that's all. Well, I made a plea to go back to the Bible, teach what the Bible says in regard to the plan of salvation and the worship and things of that nature. Of course, I had to be brief, having a translator. But about 2 days after that, the preacher was baptized and about all the members of the church. And they had to change the name up there and put Church of Christ up there. That's exactly what they did. And that has taken place several times over in India by those who have been going along that line. I was in Ohio many years ago in a gospel meeting, and the local preacher said, Perry, down below is a town, and the man is a Christian church, and I've been visiting with him and invited him to come to the meeting. Suppose we go down and visit with him. Well, I said, I'd be glad to go. We were down and visited. And I said, now I'll preach on the subject one night if you and your wife will come and others, why we do not use mechanical instruments of music in the worship, that we're not to add to the Word of God or make changes in any way whatsoever. Well, they agreed to come. Well, they came one night. I preached on it. I used every argument that I knew that the members of the so-called Christian church used and tried to answer them. Then, as you know, they say, well, the Bible doesn't say not to. No, it doesn't. So many words, but we're not to add to God's word. And gave the example of Nadab and Abihu and their so-called offering of sacrifice using strange fire, which the Lord didn't authorize, and they disobeyed the Lord and so were killed as a result of it. Well, anyway, they left, and they seemed to be friendly. And so the next day, the preacher said, well, let's go back down there and visit with him. And I said, that suits me just fine. So we went down and went into his office, and he seemed to be friendly. And here's what he said. We would have gone forward last night, but I wanted to wait till Sunday morning and then come to the congregation and tell them why I was leaving the Christian church and going back to the Church of Christ to worship as the New Testament teaches. And this is our plan to do. Well, I said, I think that'd be nice for you to explain to them why you're taking that step and doing that. And I said, I'll have to leave the meeting will be over before this coming Lord's Day. Back then, you know, we had a meeting about a week and a half, and I need to go back home, back to Oklahoma. So anyway, that's what he did. We today can be kind to people, but we can be firm, and we can say we cannot endorse the use of mechanical instruments or music in the worship, because unauthorized and going beyond the teaching of the Word of God. I have been going for several years into the Detroit area for lectureship, similar to this here, and the local preacher of the church where we're having the meetings used to be in the Christian church. And with the study of the Bible, he gave it up. He's a good, sound, solid, devoted, dedicated man. And so I think that we need to appeal to the young men who are studying in these schools of preaching, the idea to be kind, but at the same time to be firm and loyal to the teaching of the Word of God. And that is my plea for you today to think about very sincerely. And as we come together to worship the Lord, let us do that as the New Testament teaches. Now then, our lives are to be devoted and dedicated in the service of the Lord, of course. And the Bible teaches to live right and to do right. Jesus has given us the example, and this is the meaning of this lectureship, imitating Christ and living a good life to the glory and the honor of the Lord. Now then, sometimes people will say, well, the church isn't growing today. Well, maybe not in some places, but in some places it is. Now let me just pause a moment. I live in the Dallas area. Sometimes people ask where Grand Prairie is. Well, it's sandwiched between Dallas proper and Fort Worth. Over on the east side of Dallas is the town called Garland. There's the Saturn Road congregation there. My brother Preston preached for that congregation in its beginning days many years ago. I know the local preacher who was there at this time. I think I have visited there twice on Sunday at the second service. They have two services on the Lord's Day, but it's a nice auditorium like this. Now, as V.E. Howard would say in his radio program, are you listening? How many baptisms did they have last year? 199. I called the secretary Thursday. I said, now I'm going down to Austin and be with the Southwest Church. I want to tell those brethren how the congregation is growing there. Well, how many baptisms have you had so far this year? Did they say 10, 12, 15? 50! That was the answer. Now, how many they may have today in the services, I do not know. Maybe none, but maybe a few. How many they will have throughout this year, I do not know. But brethren, that's exactly what I was told. They are working, they're studying with people, they are inviting them to come, and they're making the plea, we want to follow just the teaching of the Bible, only this and nothing more. Be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, and you'll be added by the Lord to His church. And you are to try to live the Christian life. the Apostle Peter said in his first letter, the new converts, as new babes in Christ, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. So we teach you to obey the gospel, attend the services, worship the Lord, read your Bible, and God will bless you, and you can be a blessing unto others. Now, I know this is unusual, but that's exactly what I was told. 2 years ago, I had the privilege of speaking at one of the lectures at Fred Hardeman, and I referred to this congregation and the members of the church working and the church growing and people being baptized. Brethren, we can do that today. We can work and be devoted in the service of the Lord. And I'm glad that I can have a part in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've always enjoyed doing that. Now then, I grew up like you. I didn't know what idols were. I'd read in the Bible about idols and idolatry. I thought the unlove for money and the desire for material things. But something I didn't know. When I was invited to go to Singapore and Thailand and other places, I saw idols made with men's hands, as the Apostle Paul described. Well, back in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah talked about those who would make idols. You go to the forest and you cut down a tree, small tree, and you take part of the log and you carve it out and make an idol and set it up, and you bow down and worship it. And then the other part of the log, you take it and use it to cook your food. Same piece of wood. Isn't that ridiculous? One piece becomes sacred. You bow down and worship it. The other part you use to cook. Well, when I grew up, we did make stove wood. And we split the wood. And Daddy built a fire in the stove to heat the water and to cook the biscuits on the morning. I know something about that. But it's the same kind of wood that is used to build an idol. I had never seen that before in all of my life. It is said that there are over 2,000 idols, temples, or places of worship in Thailand. Maybe so. I don't know. I've seen a good many of them. Some of you know Dorset Trawl, who's over there in Chiang Mai, the second largest city in the country of Thailand. Time and again, I've seen those idols and the people going in to the places to so-called worship and bow down to the idols. And it's nothing on earth but material. That's all it is. Now then, when we turn to the Psalms and read the description, the psalmist said, they have eyes, but they don't see. They have hands, but they don't move. They have feet, but they don't move. They have ears, but they don't hear. They're man-made. Now you say, I didn't know that there were places like that today. I didn't either until I went there and saw for myself. That's the reason why in the New Testament, idolatry is a work of the flesh. It is wrong. Go back to the Old Testament and the law that the Lord gave through Moses. Have no other gods before me, and not make unto thee any graven image of any likeness in any way whatsoever. And I'll even visit the iniquity from one generation unto another. That is, they will come under that influence. Brethren, when I saw that, I realized the need of trying to get Bibles to people today that they might study the Word of God and do the Lord's will here upon this earth. So I gave up local work. I've been doing this kind of work now for about 35 years or more. And I'm glad I can do it. Read the Bible. Believe in the true God, in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, in the beauty of holiness. Serve the Lord here upon this earth. Well, many people are obeying the gospel and becoming Christians and doing the will of the Lord. I have been into Thailand many times. Dorsey Traw, who's there in Chiang Mai, has been there 46 years. He wants to make it 50 before he comes back home to Missouri to live. Well, I'll just give you those things. But, beloved, I'm glad this subject has been mentioned as a part of this lectureship in regard to it. Get your book and read it and study it. And you, your preachers, preach on this subject. Please do that. Now then, we are to live a good life. Let me tell you some more things. Several years ago, a young lady came to me as I was the local preacher of the church and wanted to know about marrying somebody. We just called him Jim. But he drinks every now and then. And I just don't know about that. What do you think? Should I or not? He has promised to quit. Well, I said, sometimes they do, and they can, but sometimes they promise that, and then after a while they go back to drinking again and don't give it up. And so you might be tied to a man like that. So I can't say. Well, she made a decision. She gave him up. Several years ago, time goes on by, I received a letter. Brother Cotham, I want to thank you for the advice that you gave. I gave him up, but I met a fine young Christian man, married. He's been so good to me. He's an elder of the church. We have two fine sons who've been baptized. They're thinking about becoming preachers. Thank you for helping me. My advice is, young girls, don't marry a whiskey bottle. No. Find a good Christian man. And boys, if you want to be a preacher and have a good influence, you marry you a good, faithful, devoted, dedicated Christian woman or young girl to be your helper in the service of the Lord. Several years ago, I was in Iowa, and there was a young man and his wife. But he said he had to go to the doctor every now and then for treatment. And then I later learned from his wife that a few years ago he got on dope. But he gave it up. But he still has the effect of it. Now listen, friends. The Lord may forgive you of your wrongdoing and of sins. But there is such a thing as you continuing to receive the results of wrongdoing, the effects of it. Take, for an example, the individual who smokes a lot, a pack a day and maybe more. Well, that's expensive, I understand. But at the same time, he might say, well, I don't see any harm in it. Preachers overeat at times. Well, maybe so, but two wrongs don't make a right. Anyway, he goes on, and then something happens. Rick is called. I want you to come over and visit with Jim. He's got lung cancer in both lungs, and the doctor says there's not anything they can do, But I gave him some medicine to ease him. Has that happened? Yes, it's happened. Have preachers had that experience? Yes. Yes, we have. Yes, we have. I say to young men, and now I can say young women too, don't smoke. Don't smoke. Save that money and give to help the school of preaching or help missionaries or help buy Bibles. God will bless you in so doing. Live a good, clean, holy, devoted, dedicated life in the service of the Lord, and the Lord will bless you. I was sorry for this young man that I'm talking about, but I couldn't do anything about it. Well, I think I was in Winnipeg, Canada, and I was talking about evil and receiving the results of it today. And I said, as I saw the communion table, nice, I could come in here some afternoon or night after the service and drive some big nails in this communion table. And then tomorrow, some of you could come by and say, my, look at there, what happened? And I say, well, I did that. I'm sorry. I'll get the hammer and pull out the nails. And I do. But there's a scar where every one of those nails have been driven. There's a scar. You know that. The last night of the meeting came. I was standing back at the back of the auditorium. And a young man said, Brother Cotham, I heard your nails in the table and the scars the other night. I've got scars too. I knew what he's talking about. I've tried to pull out the nails, but I've still got the scars. Young people, don't do wrong. You may repent, but you may receive the effects of your wrongdoing in the days to come. Well, I could mention other things. Years ago, there came a desire in America for mechanical instruments of music in the worship. About 1859, in Kentucky, man put in one. Others began to put in one. McGarvey and others opposed, but they continued to put them in. In 1906, the census had a division, Churches of Christ and Christian churches. We've been growing since that time, but today we're being faced with some congregations that are putting in mechanical instruments of music in the worship. And I made an article that I read and made it copies available to all of the elders of this congregation and the preachers. We have it in the state of Texas. Communion, instrumental music on Saturday night. Instrumental music in the worship on the Lord's Day. Now, we cannot afford to do that in any way whatsoever. And I plead with you, whether you're members here or somewhere else, plead for the fact that we must remain true to the teaching of the Bible, the Word of God. Now, my time is up, but I've asked the song leader to use the song that is in the book, Take Time to Be Holy. Will you come up here and lead it? What's the number?
240.
Okay. Let's all sing that to close our talk. And then Brother Rick will come and make the announcement. Let us sing together. Just keep your seats and sing. Okay, come on.
240.